So we're going to John 20 this morning. And I'm prayed about a few times in this morning. The Lord just confirmed it a few times. But I wanted to clarify something a little bit, that we live in a camper, but when we're home, we have a house in Allegheny. So the house is like 40 by 40. You know, it's not 300 square feet. It's a regular house. So when Kyle and Tiffany and their family came over, they thought, you know, I don't know how this is going to work out. They came over for a meal. I thought, how are we gonna have dinner in their trailer, you know? But we do have a house here, okay? So when we're in the area, we have a house. And the other thing is that we don't actually spend all of our time in our 350 square feet of trailer. We usually are playing in a gym, or out in the kids are out in the field, or we kind of all spread out during the day, and we just come back to, that's kind of our fort, to have a spot to sleep at night. And so we don't live our lives in the trailer, so it's not so bad. We actually have a lot of fun, and we're very thankful to be able to do that, to be able to travel, and Lord's helped kept that trailer together for us, and we're very thankful for that. And Leanna does need prayer. She needs prayer for all the challenges of ministry, and she needs prayer because of her husband. So definitely be prayed for us and Leanna especially. And there's news, we're expecting in October. So she definitely needs prayer. So we're expecting number 9, Lord willing, in October, and just be in prayer for us as we get closer in that, and praise the Lord for that. So, all right, we're going to be in John chapter 20, and we're going to go right through this chapter here and look at the resurrection. I know Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday was a couple weeks ago now, but the Lord is risen today, all right? He's alive today. And each day, God is a living God. Each day has a purpose and a plan. God has a living plan for each day in our lives. And we're going to look at a principle here in John chapter 20. Maybe one that you haven't looked at specifically in this chapter before. But this thought of seeking God when you don't really know the answers you're looking for. You know there are answers, but you're kind of a little bit in the dark still. You're trying to get to a certain place in your walk with God, get some light on something, but you still feel like you're in the dark. So what do you do when it's dark still? And we're going to look at that through this whole chapter, through the life of Mary Magdalene, and then also through the life of Thomas. So I'm going to go ahead and read through the chapter first, and then we'll just go verse by verse through this chapter this morning. But the Bible says here, John chapter 20, I'm going to read through the chapter. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and this napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples that therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I'm going to emphasize this morning this thought from verse 1, where it says that Mary Magdalene saw early when it was yet dark. So that's going to be our thought here this morning, when it was yet dark. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the privilege it is to know you. We thank you for your grace and your kindness to us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you open doors, that you shut doors. Lord, we thank you that you give us your word as a light, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we pray now in Jesus' name that you would bind the enemy from this time. We pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, and Lord, that your word would have freedom, that your spirit would have freedom in this time. I pray, Lord, through this time, Lord, that your people would be helped and that we would grow through the truth of your word. I pray that this would be a good time of healing, of growth. I pray that you touch souls this morning, Lord, that you would do the work that only you can. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a precious passage of scripture here, and of course, probably like most of you, whenever I come to this passage, I get excited just to think about Jesus rising from the dead, to see the love of Mary Magdalene for the Lord Jesus. And she came this day after watching Jesus crucified. She came this day to anoint his body, to show respect for his body. Of course, that body would begin to decay naturally, and so it would begin to smell very bad. And so she went there to anoint that body and to try to show honor to that body, to show that she didn't want any type of dishonor to happen to the body of Christ. And she knew that body had been given for her sins, that he was the perfect lamb that every lamb in the Old Testament had pointed to. Mary Magdalene knew what he had done and why he had done it. It was for her sins. He had died for her sins. He had given his life for her life. And so she came early in the morning when it was yet dark. She was looking to honor Jesus when it was still dark. But there's something here that we see, and it's a principle all through this chapter, that she came when she didn't really have a hold of a living Savior. She knew that Jesus died for her sins, but she didn't have the life that Jesus brought for her. Jesus didn't come to just to die. He came to die and have victory over death in the grave, to rise from the dead, to have a life that would extend to us, that we could be spiritually alive and have a fellowship with God the Father, that we could be alive spiritually. And it's one thing to be able to see the principle of needing a Savior and praying for forgiveness of sins, but it's something else to know that you're a child of God and to have a living Savior within you, to be born again from on high. It's different. It's not the same as just a prayer and a concept that, okay, I have sin and I need to be forgiven and I have a legal transaction that's important. But there is a life that moves into a born-again child of God. And Mary Magdalene, she didn't have that yet. But she was looking for it still. It was dark out still. And she came to the grave to do honor to the body of Christ, but she didn't know the living Savior. And she came that way, and she sought the sepulcher, and she seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. You know, the stone is rolled away. The power of God to save his soul is alive today. That stone that stands between you and God, that wall is broken down. And you can have life through the name of Jesus Christ, and through him we can live. That stone is taken away from the sepulcher. And when she saw that stone taken away, she ran back to the disciples. It says in verse 2, she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they've laid him. She said, we don't know where he is. And that was her priority. She wanted to find the body of Jesus. If that's your priority, you will find him. If you want to find Jesus, if you want to find him, you will. Jesus said this, seek and ye shall find. Very simple. Mary Magdalene sought and she would find Jesus. I like what it says here in verse 2 as John pens these words down for us. It says that she came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. John refers to himself as the other disciple whom Jesus loved. You want to know what's important about John? He was loved by Jesus. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how marvelous, how great that love is for us. John knew that he was loved by Jesus. And so he says here, that other disciple whom Jesus loved heard this from Mary Magdalene, and he writes it down for us here. In verse 3, it says, Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. Now, I like this because a lot of times you see Peter is always the bold one when he's out, when they're out and about. He's the leader, really. Jesus often talks to Peter. Peter was appointed by Jesus to be a leader among the disciples. But John loved Jesus. And when the two run together, you get this little note here that, and it's kind of a funny little note. John says, by the way, I outran him. You know, Peter's always he's always the outspoken one, and he seems like, you know, he's a man's man, but he's like, yeah, but I outran him. I like that. So John wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see him. He wanted to know what's going on here. And so he ran to the sepulcher. He outran Peter to the sepulcher. He made it there first. But when he arrived at the sepulcher, he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. And this is a little bit of a reflection of John's personality. He didn't just go running into the sepulcher. He stopped in, having respect for the place. He stopped by the sepulcher. He stooped down. He looked in the entrance to that sepulcher. That it was like a cave where they would lay this body. It was a lower. You'd have to crouch down to look in. So he stooped down to look into that sepulcher, but he didn't go in. Now, when Peter got there, he just ran right in. Right? Isn't that just like Peter? Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So This other disciple makes it to the sepulcher, and Peter runs in. After Peter goes in, he sees the linen clothes lying, but he also sees the napkin wrapped in a separate place. John says when he walked in, from the outside he could see the linen clothes lying, but he didn't see the napkin that was in a separate place. When he walked into the sepulcher, he saw the linen clothes that were wrapped around the body of Jesus. They were folded. And he saw the napkin in a separate place folded by itself. And there's a message there that's important. But the basic thought here is this, that what had taken place was an orderly thing. It was not a mistake. This was not an unfortunate miscarriage of justice. This was on purpose. God gave his own son to lay down his life as a lamb for the world. It happened on purpose. And what took place there was not that, you know, the Jews came and stole the body. No. Jesus rose from the dead. He had conquered death. He had finished his work. And when John saw not only the linen clothes that were about his body wrapped, but he saw the napkin that was about his face wrapped together in a place by itself, it says when he saw these things, he believed.
Amen.
Amen. Notice what happens in verse 10. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. So they leave. They go back to their house. They go, that's great. Jesus must have risen from the dead. That's wonderful. And so they leave with that great hope and they go back to their home. Mary Magdalene didn't though. Mary Magdalene was still there. Mary stood at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. So now Mary looks into the sepulcher and she sees something that the two disciples didn't see.
Yeah.
That's not what they saw. When they looked in the sepulcher, they saw linen clothes and the napkin. They didn't see angels. But Mary wasn't going anywhere. She said, I need to find Jesus.
That's good.
Where is he? I must find him. She was not content to leave without having that encounter with Jesus. She needed to know, where is the body of Jesus? And if he's risen from the dead, where is he? I must find him. She expected a living Savior or to know where the body of Jesus was, and she was not content to leave without encountering him personally. And so she sees these two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain, in verse 13. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back. So notice this. She's standing there and she sees these angels. I personally have never seen an angel in all of its glory in my life. I've never have. I don't think it's impossible for a person to see that. Okay, so if someone was to tell me I saw an angel in all their glory, it was, wow, overwhelming, and it changed my life, you know, okay. That may have happened. And there's many instances of people that saw angels in the Bible. And when that happened, these people would be terrified. In fact, the guards that were there at the sepulcher, it says they were so overcome by the presence of the angel that rolled that stone away that they trembled and became as dead men. They passed out because it was so overwhelming. Mary looks in there and she sees these angels and they're talking to her. And they say, you know, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Who are you looking for? Why are you weeping? What's wrong? And Mary says, they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. In other words, she says this, I am looking for Jesus. She wasn't looking for some spiritual experience.
Amen. Yeah.
She wasn't looking for some encounter of with an angel and say, oh, I saw an angel, so I'm okay now. No. She wanted to find Jesus. In fact, after she said that, she's looking at these angels and they're sitting there. They're talking to Mary. She's not intimidated by them. She's not like, wow, real angels. She doesn't care. She wants to find Jesus. That is her absolute priority. She's not settling for seeing angels. In fact, one of the great illustrations of that is what she does next. She turns right around. She turns away from the angels. She leaves them sitting there. It's kind of like, hey. She just turns around. She turns away from those angels. She wanted to find Jesus. She wanted to know where he was. She wanted to be forgiven of her sin and to know a living Savior. It says here, she turned back. Where am I? So she turned herself back in verse 14 and saw Jesus standing.
Amen.
Knew not that it was Jesus. She saw Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us in Mark 16:9, it says, he appeared first unto Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. The Bible tells us this was the first time he showed himself to anyone. Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And we know that number seven speaks of completion. She was overcome by the evils of this world when Jesus found her. And Jesus touched her life, changed her life, and he showed himself first to her, and he gave her this great message of truth. We'll continue reading here. Verse 15, and Jesus said to her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. So she thinks he's the gardener. Why does she think that? I don't know why she assumed he was the gardener, but I believe she was weeping. I don't think she even really looked up too much. She was just looking for Jesus. But she was, I believe she was crying. Her eyes had tears. She didn't look up, and she thought, well, it's just the gardener. Said, where is he? So she says the same thing to Jesus. Jesus says to her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She confirms this again. What is she looking for? Not a religious experience, not angels, not some religion. She's looking for Jesus. She says to him, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She said, I need to find Jesus. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And when he says Mary, she knows who's talking to her. When he says Mary, he's speaking her language. This name Mary, it comes from the root Mara. You remember Naomi came back to Bethlehem with her our daughter-in-law Ruth, and she says to the people in Bethlehem, don't call me Naomi, because Naomi means pleasant. She said, call me Mara. Why? Because the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. That name Mary means bitterness. She had a problem. Her heart was not healed. She had a bitterness within her. She sought Jesus bitterly, and she sought for that living Savior. Jesus spoke to her. He spoke because he knew where she was coming from. Jesus didn't come to make us feel better about ourselves. He came to fix what we need help with. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. Jesus came to heal. He said to her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. He understood the depth of her sin. He understood the depth of her the evils in her life. The Bible said she had been possessed of seven devils. She was completely overcome with the evils of this world. She was completely without spiritual life before Jesus found her. Mary speaks of her need of a Savior. And Jesus spoke to her and said her name, Mary. And she said in response, Rabboni. In other words, Master. She saw Jesus as the master of her life. She needed a new master. She needed new leadership, new direction. Notice verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. That's an amazing thing right there. Why did he say that? He explains, I am not yet ascended to my Father. Before he went back to God the Father, he made it a priority to visit with Mary Magdalene.
Amen.
For the rest
of his
life. That's
good.
That's my Jesus. He set aside the glory of heaven, came here and was made in the likeness of sinful men, laid down his life, was found guilty of sin for my soul and yours. By the grace of God, he's given himself for us. And we see this in that he came to Mary Magdalene before he went to God the Father. After over 33 years of being, in a sense, bound by the things of this world. Distanced from his father. He stayed with his father, but he made himself like one of us. And before he ever went back to the Father, before he ever reunited with the Father after his crucifixion, he made it a point to visit with Mary Magdalene. That's a wonderful thing. Notice what he says, but go to my brethren. Who's that? The disciples. You know, Peter, the other disciple whom Jesus loved, John, the other disciples. You know, these regular guys that were fishermen and tax collectors. These regular guys. Go talk to my brothers. Amen. How did he have those brothers? Because he had given his life and his blood for them. He said, go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father.
Amen.
My Father's your Father now. Because of what he did, they were adopted. They were brought in to the family of God. And he says, and to your God, excuse me, and to my God and your God. This is what Jesus came to do, to adopt us into his family, so we can behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. This is what he came to do. That you don't have to just, wonder as you go through life if there's a purpose. God has a very specific purpose for each of us. He loves us and has adopted us as children into his family if we'll accept Jesus Christ and his finished work. He told Mary to go and tell his brethren that he is going to his Father and their Father, his God and their God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Okay, and that's the end of verse 18. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. Jesus showed himself alive. And that's the end of verse 18. There you go. He's alive. He told them, go back and tell them, your God, my God and your God, my Father and your Father. You're part of the family of God now.
Amen.
You're sons of God. You have all the power of the sons of God now.
Good.
And that's the end of verse 18. There you go. You have the authority to come and be a son of God through his finished work.
Good.
In verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. Why? For fear of the Jews. But perfect love casts out fear, preacher.
Amen.
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 Still afraid. Still shut doors shut. Still, oh, don't let the Jews get us. I would be afraid too. They saw what they did to Jesus if they didn't have a living Savior. They had good reason to be afraid if they didn't have a living Savior. Amen. But if they had a living Savior, they could have the boldness of lions. Because all power had been given unto him, as he would say at the end of Matthew chapter 28, at the end of the book of Matthew, I should say. They had all power. They were going to be given all power. But right here we see the door shut. Right here we see fear of the Jews. This is the same day. This is the day of the resurrection. But they didn't have that personal encounter with a living Savior. The disciples were still in fear. the same day for fear of the Jews. And then came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. They weren't supposed to stay locked up in that upper room. They were supposed to go. They were supposed to do something. They were supposed to go out and make a difference through the power of Christ. They were supposed to go. He said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. They were supposed to go out. They were supposed to be on the offensive, making a difference in the world around them, not on the defensive, trying to protect their lives. They were supposed to be making a difference, but they couldn't do that unless they were sent. And Jesus was saying, I will send you. We can't go. We can't make a difference unless we have the power of God to go and to make a difference. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So important. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's the power of the New Testament church. The real New Testament church is empowered by the Holy Ghost. No other way. You cannot make a difference except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. You cannot make a difference unless you have his power to make a difference. But we'll find that power as we seek him earnestly. He says in verse 23, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And that was an awesome thing, and that's the end of verse 23. Jesus came and he appeared to all the disciples. He showed himself. He breathed on them. They received the Holy Ghost. But Thomas wasn't there. One of the disciples missed it. And you know, we give Thomas a hard time because really he seems like, I mean, after all that time he spent with Jesus, over 3 years spent with Jesus, saw all these miracles, you'd think certainly he'd believe. But he doesn't believe. And look at verse 24. Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Their disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Amen. We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Well, that's a pretty strong statement there. I will not believe. Wow. Thomas, after those years walking right beside Jesus, you're going to say that? And we give him a hard time, but here's what Thomas was really saying. I will not settle for secondhand information. I will not settle for someone else's relationship with God. I must have a personal encounter or it's not good enough. What do you expect? Do you expect somebody else is gonna be able to tell you about what their walk with God? You expect to hear about God from your mom or from your dad or from your grandpa? From your brother, your sister? You expect to hear about him and what God's doing in Pastor Asquith's life? What about what he's doing in your life?
Hey, that's good.
Do you expect to see him? Do you expect to have a personal relationship with him? Can. If you want to, you can.
Good.
Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I see him myself. I must see him myself. But he said, if I don't, I will not believe. Now, we give him a hard time for that, but notice what happens next. And this is powerful. I hope that you really think about this and meditate on this thought here. Verse 26, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. He told them straightforward, if I don't see Jesus, I will not believe. But he kept coming back. He kept seeking when it was still dark.
Yeah.
other people are getting excited about their walk with God, and it seems like they're getting a hold of something, but I'm not getting it, but that, you know, I don't know. Are you coming back? Are you still seeking?
Come on.
Hey, I've heard one testimony after another of God working in people's lives in this church when they said, you know, I struggle with things for weeks or for years. I struggle with things. But as God began to work in their lives and began to draw them and they began to seek, God brought some clarity. Amen. Thomas stayed with them. Don't give up. Hey, when you don't see the light, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel and say, you don't know how many years, you don't know how many times I've tried, you don't know how often I've sought. Keep seeking.
Right.
Seek and ye shall find. It's a promise.
That's right.
Jesus said, I will build my church. And he's going to build it in those that will seek him. And he'll build it here. He's already been seeking you. Will you seek him? Jesus wasn't angry at Thomas. Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Again, he brought this message of peace. He could bring true peace because he had finished the work and the conflict that was between us and God. Verse 27, then saith he to Thomas. Jesus has a personal conversation with Thomas. He didn't say, boy, you know, after all you've seen, really, Thomas? No, he didn't say that. Notice what he says to Thomas. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. He said, come on! Come on! See the print of the nail. See the print of the spear. See that it's me. He said, come on and see. The first thing that God said was, let there be light.
Amen.
God wants you to have light. God wants you to have clarity. God wants you to have some things nailed down. God wants you to be able to, as Pastor says, lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He doesn't bring peace slightly when there's no peace. Amen. He brings true peace, lasting peace, enduring peace that will last through a lifetime and beyond this life, beyond the grave.
Good.
We can have hope. We can have confidence if we'll seek him out. He said, go ahead. See the wound in my hand. See the wound in my side. He said, be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He affirmed the deity of Christ very clearly. He said, you are God. Because of all that Jesus had said, and because he had finished what he had said, he rose from the dead as he said he would. He knew that he had fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies, and that Jesus was more than just a great man or a great prophet, but that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, was God in the flesh. He said, my Lord and my God. Thomas had some faith. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. That's not a feather in our cap. In fact, what that means is, it's one thing to see and have that assurance through seeing, but it's another thing to have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, move into your life and confirm it, not through the eye of this world, but through the spiritual eye of faith, to have the Spirit of God confirm it himself. In fact, Jesus said, it's expedient for me to go, because if I go, I'll send the Comforter. He knew what he was doing. He has made a provision for us to absolutely know for certain a living Savior. And it's a blessing that he's given to us as New Testament Christians, as in this age, during the church age. He's given us this great blessing. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Life.
Good.
I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. So Jesus said.
Amen.
We do not have a dead Savior. We have a living Savior. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ as a living Savior? It's a simple thought this morning. I just encourage you to think about this and pray about, meditate what God would have you do in response to this principle. But John chapter 20, I see all through that chapter this theme of seeking Jesus when it's still dark, when it's still hard. Just keep seeking. Like Thomas, you might say, you know what? Unless I see him, unless I really encounter him personally, I just cannot believe this. Okay, but just keep going back and keep seeking anyway. Expecting to find a living Savior. Amen. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning and to be able to bring this message. I hope that it's been an encouragement to you. I know that this morning that many of you have a relationship with a living Savior, and you can say you know a living Savior. I praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful for how God has made himself real to many of us here this morning and has given us a living faith. But there are many here this morning, you do not know a living Savior. You don't know him. You know about him. You've heard about him. But you have never been truly born again. You do not have that bold assurance of a living Savior. I would just plead with you this morning. Will you seek him? Do you expect to meet a living Savior? Do you expect to be born again, born from on high? If you know the Lord, you know there's times also as a saved person where you're going to go through some challenging times and some dark times. Hey, don't get to, when life wants to get you discouraged, just keep seeking the Lord. Know that he's got a purpose and a plan and whatever he takes us through. Hope this has been an encouragement to you. I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer, and I just encourage you to see what God would have you to do with this message. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us and the privilege it is to come to you in prayer to speak with you. Thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the great encouragement that it is to be here, to be home with the church here, and to be able to visit with friends and to be able to preach this message this morning is a great privilege, and I don't take it lightly. I thank you for the opportunity to open your word. I pray that you would work in our hearts through this thought. Help us, Lord, to keep seeking you out, Lord. And no doubt there's things that each of us carry, Lord, as Christians or wherever we're at, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to seek your face, Lord, and not to get discouraged by the things of this life. I pray for those that are lost here this morning, Lord, that they would come to know you as Savior. Lord, that they would have a living salvation, Lord, that they would have a living Savior, and that they'd know you very personally. Father, we thank you for your love to us. Thank you for the truth of your word and the opportunity to be able to look into it this morning. We ask your blessing in these things now in Jesus' name.
I'd like you to take your songbook and turn to page 266. 266. What I want you to do is keep your finger there and then turn to page 166. All right? Find in your book 266. The song is I Need Jesus. We're just going to sing the first verse. And then when we're done with that first verse in 266, we're immediately going to flip over to 166 and we'll sing the whole of the love of God. Brother Thad began emphasizing with the love of God. The heard the fellas singing that on the recording, and I just think we're going to put these two together, all right? Let's start with page 266, just the first verse.
I need Jesus, my need I now confess, no friend like him in times of deep distress. I need Jesus, the need I gladly own, though some may bear their load alone, yet